Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome back to As It Is, the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington. Today, we tell about some of the worst places in the world for fighting modern slavery. They are named in a new United States government report on human trafficking. Then, we have a story about the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Some people think NATO will become less important after its forces leave Afghanistan, but others disagree. They see the alliance as doing necessary work in the years to come. 7 days a week, we give you our world as it is. The United States has identified Thailand, Malaysia, and Venezuela as among the worst places in the world for fighting modern slavery. The three countries were named in a new State Department report on human trafficking. Katie Weaver has more.
The 2014 Trafficking in Persons report placed Thailand in a group known as Tier 3. That is the lowest rating among 23 countries that U.S. officials say are not doing enough to stop modern slavery. The report tells about the tens of thousands of migrants to Thailand. Many of these people are forced to work in Thailand's fishing industry or the sex trade. The Tier 3 listing opens up Thailand and others to possible American sanctions. The State Department studied 188 countries, including the United States. The report is aimed at forcing governments to take steps to help the estimated 20 million victims of modern slavery. Secretary of State John Kerry called human trafficking one of the greatest threats to human dignity and freedom.
And it's a call to action to governments and citizens around the world to uncover modern slavery and hold it accountable, to identify the victims and bring their abusers to justice. There cannot be impunity for those who traffic in human beings. It must end.
The State Department named 10 heroes in the effort to stop trafficking. They include Beatrice Jedi Agba of Nigeria. She is the head of Nigeria's National Agency for the Prohibition of Trafficking. Officials praised her efforts to help trafficking victims rejoin Nigerian society. They also praised her work with other nations to deal with trafficking in Africa.
I made a connection with those victims that I met, and I thought, I'm going to help you through with this, and I'm going to make sure nobody else has to go through this ever again.
Secretary of State Kerry said he hopes more people and governments will answer his call to action to fight what he calls the scourge of modern slavery. I'm Katie Weaver.
Some experts say NATO may be getting stronger because of conflicts on its eastern and southern borders. Christopher Cruz has more. That is the sound of armored personnel carriers, tanks, and other military equipment being put on trucks in Afghanistan. They are being prepared for the long ride home as NATO's campaigns in the country come to an end. Some observers believed the alliance will become less important after the operation ends. But Jonathan Ayal of the Royal United Services Institute says they were wrong.
Interestingly, NATO is now more relevant than it has been for probably a decade.
He says the alliance is still important, largely because of Russia. This followed Russian expressions of support for Ukrainian separatists and Russia's takeover of the Crimean Peninsula. Professor Ayal says European countries, once under the control of the Soviet Union, are now worried about Russia.
These Europeans used to be dismissed up to now as being neurotic, as being too frightened about the Russia that supposedly is no longer an enemy. Well, the East Europeans were right and we were wrong about Russia. So in many respects, this is the moment where the alliance will have to reassure its members.
NATO has taken steps to calm the former Soviet-controlled states. It has increased the number of troops along the borders of its members in the east. It has also increased sea and air defenses. Russia began working closely with NATO in the 1990s. But military experts say it should no longer be considered a strategic or long-term partner. General Philip Breedlove is the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO operations in Europe. He says the alliance may make changes in how its troops are deployed.
We've seen a nation cross an internationally recognized sovereign border and annex by force a portion of a sovereign nation. That changes the way we do business. And so we are now reevaluating how we do these things as it relates to force readiness, responsiveness, and positioning.
Jonathan Ayal says NATO must also deal with unrest along its southern borders.
Turkey, for instance, asked for a meeting of NATO in order to discuss the crisis that it sees at its borders.
That crisis in Syria and Iraq is worsening. Islamist militants have taken control of large areas in each country. NATO's Secretary General has said he does not believe the alliance should become involved in the Iraqi conflict. But security officials in Western countries warn that the lawlessness there enables terrorists to operate safely. The officials warn that these terrorists may use Iraq as a base for attacks on other countries. So, they say, NATO should watch the situation closely. A report written for NATO on the organization's future said it should restate its top objective, collective defense, and it said European members should halt cuts in defense spending. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And that's As It Is. Stay with us for more Learning English programs and world news at the beginning of the hour on VOA.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. The United States and China
held 2 days of high-level meetings in Beijing this week. The talks are known as the Strategic and Economic Dialogue. The two sides appear to make little progress on a number of security and economic issues. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said on Thursday that he had a frank discussion with Chinese officials about computer security. He said attacks on computer systems have harmed American businesses and threatened our nation's competitiveness. U.S. officials recently brought legal action against 5 Chinese military officials. The 5 are now facing cyber espionage charges. China has rejected claims that it is stealing information from U.S. companies. It accuses the U.S. of launching its own cyber attacks against China. After the 2008 financial crisis, huge Chinese government spending powered China's economy and helped to lift other economies. On Wednesday, China's finance minister said that it is now time for the U.S. to drive the world economy. American businesses, in turn, have criticized China for restricting their activity in Chinese markets. They also say the low value of Chinese money, the yuan, helps Chinese exporters sell their products overseas. Disputes between the two nations remain. Yet many observers believe economic cooperation is very important. U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew attended the meetings in Beijing. He later told business people that strengthening the commercial relationships remains an important test ahead of us. It's a way to create economic growth and jobs in our two countries, and it's a way to help drive the global economy forward. China's state counselor, Yang Jiechi, agreed that business is what he called the backbone of the U.S.-China relationship. He said, "I believe all departments from our two countries' governments will pay high attention to the proposals and suggestions raised by all entrepreneurs today." The talks in Beijing also included a discussion of Chinese territorial claims in the South China Sea. The U.S. has blamed China for raising tensions in the area and called its territorial claims problematic. In the past few months, China has established an air defense zone over disputed waters with Japan and put an oil rig in an area claimed by Vietnam. China also declared rights over waters claimed by other nations in the South China Sea. The U.S. Pivot to Asia policy has led to new security agreements with the Philippines, Japan, and South Korea. It also is leading to additional U.S. military forces in the area. China said the U.S. policy is designed to contain its rise as the main power in East Asia. Mr. Kerry said that the U.S. is not seeking to contain China, and hopes that China works to guarantee regional security. The U.S.-China strategic and economic dialogue have failed to produce much substance in the past few years. And that's in the news from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. Last week, we brought you the first of four programs called A Princess of Mars. Our story is from a series of books by American writer Edgar Rice Burroughs. They are science fiction stories, a mix of imagination and science. Last week, we met John Carter, who begins the story. He enters a cave deep in the desert in the state of Arizona. There, something happens. He does not know how, but he has been transported to the red planet Mars. He quickly learns that gravity on Mars is much less than on Earth. The lack of gravity makes him very strong. He can even jump very high without trying. He finds a low wall that surrounds a group of eggs. The eggs are opening. Out come small, fierce-looking green creatures. When we left John Carter, a green adult creature carrying a long, sharp spear was coming toward him. And now, the second program in our series, A Princess of Mars.
The creature with the spear was huge. There were many other similar creatures. They had ridden behind me on the backs of large animals. Each of them carried a collection of strange-looking weapons. The one with the large spear got down from the back of his animal and began walking toward me. He was almost 5 meters tall and a dark green color. Huge teeth stuck out of his face, and his expression showed much hate and violence. I immediately knew I was facing a terrible warrior. He began moving quickly toward me with the spear. I was completely unarmed. I could not fight. My only chance was to escape. I used all my strength to jump away from him. I was able to jump almost 30 meters. The green Martian stopped and watched my effort. I would learn later that the look on his face showed complete surprise. The creatures gathered and talked among themselves. While they talked, I thought about running away. However, I noticed several of them carried devices that looked very much like rifles. I could not run. Soon, all but one of the creatures moved away. The one who had threatened me stayed. He slowly took off a metal band from his arm and held it out to me. He spoke in a strange language.
Nictu Maktuta Sakota.
Slowly he laid down his weapons. I thought this would have been a sign of peace anywhere on Earth. Why not Mars, too? I walked toward him, and in a normal voice, announced my name, and said I had come in peace. I knew he did not understand, but like me, he took it to mean that I meant no harm. Slowly, we came together. He gave me the large metal band that had been around his arm. He turned and made signs with his hands that I should follow him. Soon, we arrived at the large animal he had been riding. He again made a sign with his hands that I should ride on the same animal behind him. The group turned and began riding across the land. We moved quickly toward mountains in the distance. The large animals we rode moved quickly across the land. I could tell from the surrounding mountains that we were on the bottom of a long, dead sea. In time, we came to a huge city. At first, I thought the city was empty. The buildings were all empty and in poor repair. But soon, I saw hundreds of the green warriors. I also saw green women and children. I soon learned about many cities like this. The cities were built hundreds of years ago by a people that no longer existed. The green Martians used the cities. They moved from one empty city to another, never stopping for more than a day or two. We got down from our animals and walked into a large building. We entered a room that was filled with fierce green warriors. It was not difficult to tell that these were the leaders of the green Martians. One of them took hold of my arm. He shook me and lifted me off the ground. He laughed when he did so. I was to learn that green Martians only laugh at the pain or suffering of others. This huge warrior threw me to the ground and then took hold of my arm again to pick me up. I did the only thing I could do. I hit him with my closed fist as hard as I could. The green warrior fell to the floor and did not move. The others in the room grew silent. I had knocked down one of their warriors with only my hand. I moved away from him and prepared to defend myself as best I could, but they did not move. The green Martian that had captured me walked toward me. He said in a clear voice,
"Tars Tarkas! Tars Tarkas!"
As he spoke, he pointed to his own chest. He was telling me his name. I pointed to my chest and said, "My name, John Carter." He turned and said the word, "Sola." Immediately, a green Martian woman came close. He spoke to her. She led me to another building and into a large room. The room was filled with equipment carried by the green Martians. She prepared something for me to eat. I was very hungry. I pointed to her and said the word Sola. She pointed at me and said my name. It was a beginning. Sola was my guard. She also became my teacher. In time, she would become a close and valued friend. As I ate my meal, my lessons in the language of the green Martians continued. 2 days later, Tars Tarkas came to my room. He carried the weapons and the metal armbands the green warriors wear. He put them on the ground near my feet. Sola told him I now understood some of their language. He turned to me and spoke slowly.
"The warrior you hit is dead. His weapons and the metal of his rank are yours, John Carter. He was a leader of one small group among our people. Because you have killed him, you now are a leader. You are still a captive and not free to leave. However, you will be treated with the respect you have earned. You are now a warrior among our people."
Tars Tarkas turned and spoke softly. From beyond the door, a strange creature entered the room. It was bigger than a large dog and very ugly. It had rows of long teeth and 10 very short legs. Tars Tarkas spoke to the creature and pointed at me. He left. The creature looked at me, watching closely. Then Sola spoke about the creature.
His name is Wula. The men of our tribe use them in hunting and war. He has been told to guard and protect you. He has also been told to prevent your escape. There is no faster creature in our world, and in a fight, they can kill very quickly. Do not try to escape, John Carter. Wula will tear you to small pieces.
I continued to watch the creature named Wula. I had already seen how the green Martians treated other animals. They were very cruel. I thought, perhaps this beast can be taught to be my friend, much like a dog on Earth. I walked close to the creature and began speaking in much the same way I would speak to a dog or other animal on Earth. I sat down next to him while I talked softly. At first, he seemed confused. I believe the creature Wula had never heard a kind word. In the next several days, I gained the trust and friendship of Wula. In a few short days, Wula was my friend and fierce protector. He would remain my loyal friend as long as I was on Mars. Several days later, Sola came to me with a look of great concern.
John Carter, come with me. A great battle is about to take place. An enemy is coming near this city. We must prepare to fight, and we must be ready to flee.
Sola, what enemy is this?
A race of red men who travel our world in flying machines. A great number of their machines have come over the far mountain. Take your weapons with you and hurry.
I collected my sword and a spear. I hurried out of the building and joined a group of warriors moving toward the end of the city. Far in the distance, I could see the airships. They were firing large guns at the Green Warriors. I heard huge explosions. The Green Warriors were firing back with their deadly rifles. The air was filled with the sound of violent battle. Suddenly, a huge airship exploded. It came down, crashing near me. Red Martians were falling from the side of the huge ship, and then it exploded again.
You have been listening to the special English program, American Stories. This has been the second part of the story, A Princess of Mars, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. This story was adapted for Special English by Paul Thompson. It was produced by Paul Thompson and Mario Ritter. Shep O'Neill was the voice of John Carter. Steve Ember was Tars Tarkas. And Barbara Klein was Sola. Join us again next week at this time as we continue A Princess of Mars in VOA Special English.